Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
One of the differences which distinguish man from lower forms of life is that man, made in the image of God, worships a God who is greater than he. Worship is a universal act of adoration, no matter where men and women are, no matter what their culture or background. The worship of the true God begins when sinful man encounters a holy, righteous, loving God. The Old Testament story of Isaiah illustrates what happens. In the sixth chapter of the book that bears his name, Isaiah had a confrontation with God. He heard the voice of two seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Instead of rushing out to tell his friends, "Hey, let me tell you about my experience," Isaiah cried out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." God's holiness made Isaiah sense his personal sinfulness. Yet God didn't condemn Isaiah for his failure or allow him to live with condemnation. Instead, one of the seraphs took a live coal from the altar of heaven and touched his lips, a symbol of God's forgiveness which he extended. "See," said the angel, "this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." As the result of Isaiah's encounter with God, he responded by moving his life into the will of God. "Here I am. Send me," was Isaiah's response. The difference between worshiping the true God and gods which are but idols is that God alone has the power to forgive sin, which results in a changed life. All over the world, I have seen people bow to idols and worship spirits which are not true gods. After they worship, they rise with a sense of hopelessness in their hearts and wearily retrace their steps to their homes. Unsure of where they are with God, they cannot say, as did the psalmist, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." Real worship must stem from an encounter with a holy, living, loving God. Three times the Bible admonishes, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." The idea of holiness is widely misunderstood today. For example, we sometimes think of a holy man as an Eastern mystic. He has a long beard and a dirty white robe, and he walks around sputtering strange words. The word holy is a biblical word conveying two ideas. One, the thought of purity, and two, the concept of separation from that which is ordinary or profane. The holiness of God is a concept of majesty and awe which towers over our failures and shortcomings. The beauty of holiness is that God hasn't withdrawn and turned his back on our failures. Rather, he reaches down to us and touches our lives with his divine power. Through his Son, who came to reveal the Father, God has shown us something of the depth of his holiness. Rather than saying, "What you've done is okay," he revealed both the depth of his sorrow and the strength of his love by allowing Christ to die in our stead. Think about it.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.